I have a space for educators that has all different resources for all the different tech tools. We've got to balance where we've got to keep on top of what's coming out in the book world versus what's coming out in the technology world, and how do we mash it all up together? And, you know, these tools allow us to do that.
Hello, friends, and welcome to season 4 of the Future Ready Librarian podcast series, Leading from the Library. This is a podcast for all librarians, wherever you are in your journey. It is filled with amazing guests, important topics, and engaging conversations that will inspire, engage, and support all of us as Future Ready Librarians. I am your host, Shannon McClintock Miller. I am the district teacher librarian at Van Meter Community School in Van Meter, Iowa, and I serve as the Future Ready Librarian spokesperson. I have the pleasure of working within my library and school community and also with others around the country and world through Future Ready Librarian events, conferences, consulting, writing, and more. And I'm very honored to bring these voices and the work of others to our podcast and to all of you. Today, I'm really excited to welcome one of my dear friends, Deborah Zeman, to the podcast. So welcome.
Thank you. So exciting.
I know. And I just saw Deb at TLA in Texas this week. And so that was great. I wish we would have had more time.
We never have more time because that was the first one of, woo, we're all together again.
I know. It was so great. So let's just start by telling everyone what you do for your job.
I call myself a library and information technology educator because, as everybody knows, I have the clubhouse that it's not just books and bonbons. I've written blogs about it because, as librarians today, we're not still the sit and here's a book. Unfortunately, there are still people that do that. And this is the 21st century. And with everybody one-to-one nowadays, you really, as a librarian, not just the books, but you have to stay one step or 10 steps ahead because, you know, technology is constantly changing. And I'm not talking about just physical. I'm talking all the different programs and softwares and, you know, Wakelet, Flipgrid, Buncee, PebbleGo, you name it. It's all of that. So I'm one where I incorporate that into my library program. Because again, it all comes back to student voice and choice. Don't just hand them a pencil and a piece of paper. Let them decide what they want to do and how they want to create. And you become the facilitator. And that's what I always tell teachers. It's kind of like almost like project-based learning, but here, let them have the choice. Because you're going to have those kids that absolutely don't like to write, but they might like to record their voice, but not have their face. It all depends. Yeah.
Definitely. I know. I love that. I'm a huge also advocate for giving kids a voice because we really see them. It doesn't matter if they're in elementary, our youngest learners, or our high school kids, everyone wants to have a voice. And I think that's the neat thing about using technology in the library.
So well, if you think about it, the kids now that were born in 2007, they don't know anything else but iPads, tablets. You know, I've seen videos of friends' kids at 18 months old way back when sitting and playing on the phone. But then again, the kids drive me bananas because they don't charge their iPad, but their phone is at 100%. And I'm like, when you plug that in, plug in that. So.
Do your kids use iPads or Chromebooks or what do your kids use?
Our district is iPad one-to-one. Majority of it is, we use lots of different softwares, but because it's iPad, a lot of the teachers use that Apple Classroom Manager so they can see what the kids are doing, which is great. If more teachers use that, I think, you know, you're not being what I call that, I don't even know what the word was, like that Nazi over it and just, you're, you know, at least you're saying, guys, I know you want to play that game, but we got to focus on this right now. There might be time, but I mean, we should be teaching bell to bell and have bell ringers and exit tickets that you can use those tools to make it fun. Gamification.
Yes.
Go use that GimKit or Blooklet or Kahoot and close out what you were doing on the lesson. And when you're using it that way, you're going to probably get more buy-in from the kids as opposed to the ones that want to sit there and play their, you know, shooting games on the iPad.
Yes. So, I mean, and that's like, I think all those are good points too. And so obviously you're like a huge advocate for technology. So how do you get the buy-in from your teachers when it comes to them also using technology? Because it sounds like just like my job, that's a big part of your job is to collaborate and work with them too.
Right.
This
is my first year at this school. So, you know, getting my feet wet, and it's a middle school. I'm not used to that. I'm used to high school and, you know, a lot more collaboration. So it's been building the relationships this year. And what I did is I created a page in my Canvas course for the teachers, where every couple of days I'll throw in a tech tip. You know, I add about Moat. People were like, I didn't know I could do that in a Google Doc or a slide or something. I'm like, yeah, you know, you can leave that audio feedback. And sometimes the kids like that because when you're typing, the inflection doesn't come across. So when it's like, if you're really excited, you can let the kids know and proud of them. Look, oh my God, look what you did. So that's how I've been doing it this year. I create my monthly calendars for this because it's a STEM Academy in Buncee, and it's on my front page for the kids to use, but I also share it with the teachers. Here, look, there's math, there's science, there's reading, there's history in here. We're a STEM Academy, so I'm promoting, and here's how I'm promoting it for you guys. So it's more, you know, like you have the Potty PD. It's now like the Canvas chat or whatever, you know, but just little tips. And then what I'm hoping to do next year is truly do the lunch and learns. And even if you get that one teacher and then, hey, they go to their department. You know, I sat down with Zeman and she did A, B, and C. You get more and more and more. I already have a science teacher. We were talking about STAR is our national, our Texas education test, you know, the end of the course test. And she was doing science. She called it a lab, but they're not, you know, and it was a STAR review. And I was cutting it, laminating it for us, because, you know, that's our other duties, laminating and poster making. And she and I started talking, and I said, did you ever think of doing a breakout, either digital or physical? I've got the kits. And she was like, yeah, but, you know, I wasn't really sure. I said, well, let's sit down and talk about it. And she's like, well, I have the pacing guide already for next year. And I said, well, you could easily do a breakout each 9 weeks covering everything we did, and it'll culminate in that STAR exam. She's like, okay, that sounds great. And it was like a 10-minute elevator pitch. So a day went by, and then I got this email. Here's the link to the guide, so you can take a look at it and see what we can do. My first unit is atoms and neutrons, and I know for a fact on Breakout EDU, they have something like that geared towards middle schools. I was like, okay, I got your first 9 weeks done. She doesn't even realize it. So, you know, it's stuff like that.
Yeah. It's those little conversations that's what I love about like using technology and having that be one of our like roles within the library, are those little conversations that you can have. And it can be, you know, talking over a book in the library or passing by a classroom and seeing what they're doing. But I think those are, you know, the most powerful things. And it's not about sitting down with a teacher for like a whole hour. Like, it doesn't have to be that long. It can be just these little bite-sized things, and you get to know then the teacher mm-hmm. and what they're comfortable with, what they love, what their mm-hmm. kids like. And right. I think those are the huge aha moments that I love about being a librarian.
Yeah. And that also shows your leadership on the campus yeah. too. Mm-hmm. You're willing to, like, even if it's just a walk by in the hallway, hey, you know, the thing you were telling me about, I did find some stuff and I'm going to send it to you. And again, you know me, I'm like the queen of Wakelet, and I just want to gather everything in Wakelet and I can send it to them. So that's another way I have a space for educators that has all different resources for all the different tech tools. So when they hear about something, so when I introduced Moat, just in the little, you know, Canvas course, I was like, here's a Wakelet. It has a video about it, little steps to get started. And again, there's your one-stop shop for anything. It can be Google stuff. I had teachers in the past, you know, I know you're a Google trainer. Well, what are the steps to do level one? I'm like, go check your email. Boom, here's your collection. I'll sit with you and I'll talk to you, you know? So they're not like completely stressed out. I have a Wakelet for beginners. Here's your steps. You can sit with me and we can do it. Because I'm one of those, when I learn, I don't need to just be sitting there reading it. I don't need somebody talking at me and I want to be hands-on, yes. Watch that person. It's kind of like when they did the Pebble Go Create. I was like, oh, okay, I get it. I can do this. And now I can do it. That's how I learn. But everybody has a different learning style. So, yeah. And you got to make sure they have that growth mindset too.
Yeah. And that's a big part too of being, I think, having librarians be that person that is the one that supports the technology within the school.
Right.
Because we have patience and we're creative and we love to collaborate.
Right.
And the teachers need that. I mean, they're uh-huh. at all different levels, just like we are. And, absolutely. You know, being able to, you know, if you join a meeting and one of them says, you know, like, I just need some extra help. Like, uh-huh. I think that's one thing that really not only gets like our support and buy-in when it comes to technology, but when it uh-huh. comes to the library, like, you know, across the board. And, right. and that's been the neat thing to see.
And not all campuses have a devoted instructional technology specialist or digital learning coach. I know ours is there like maybe once every 3 weeks, because she's got 6 other campuses. She'll send out a newsletter, but that's not the same. So that's why I've created that space here. Here's a little note. Here's this, here's that, you know, and it made me think of something and that went right out of my head. But anyway.
Well, and I think that now we have tools too. Like, I love your monthly calendars that you make in Buncee. We'll have to put some of those in the podcast notes because I think they're so great. But also tools, and not just the tools, but the support. Like last night I was reading something about some new things that are going to come out in Flipgrid, or, you uh-huh. know, you look at Wakelet and how great it's got, or Symbaloo, or anything
any
like
of them.
We have all these great tools to really help us build like that spot for our teachers to be able to get to anything uh-huh. that we need. And I think yeah. that's a great thing too.
Yeah. And again, you become that go-to, but you also can tie those tools in with the books. So one of my English teachers was like, I love graphic novels, but I'm really tired of them checking them out. Can you put something together for me? I'm like, yeah, no problem. I just got 60 something new books. I created a Wakelet and I'll share the link with you, where, because they have that column feature, fantasy, realistic fiction, romance, horror, historical fiction. And I put book trailers, I put author interviews, I put little book blurbs, SoundCloud. You don't have to join it, but the publishers put that 5-minute audio clip of the first chapter of the book. And it's like, here, this is how you're going to get the buy-in. And so it took me, you know, a couple of hours in between doing everything else. And I sent it to her. She was like, this is amazing. I said, well, yeah, I mean, I have to keep on. That's the thing. We've got a balance where we've got to keep on top of what's coming out in the book world versus what's coming out in the technology world, and how do we mash it all up together? And, you know, these tools allow us to do that. You know, Karina created that, the Bunsy Bento, book bento, where you're having the kid do their voice in terms of symbolism, foreshadowing, a little book talk about why they picked that book. And you can have the picture of the book, or you can have the book trailer in there. So, you know, it's all about promotion.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I love that you said that, like, how do we mesh everything together into what mm-hmm. we do? I always say we're like the cruise director at school.
Because, we are, yeah.
You know,
but we're also in that silo.
Yes.
You know, yes, we see, like, in my school, we have like 670, 680, 6th, 7th, 8th graders. I see all the kids all the time. I don't see the teachers all the time. I'm by myself. You know, I have my middle school team and then the rest of the team, but there's 60 something of us spread across the district. And, you know, we can partner up with each other, but we're still that silo. And it was interesting during TLA, how many different presentations that I went to that people talked about that silo and trying to connect with your school community and the parents to show reading in a positive light and look at all the stuff that we do. I'm the webmaster and the tweet master, I guess, from my a school site. So I always put out my stats on there. I'll put out stuff about what we've done, book tastings. This month I went a little overboard and did like 7 contests for National Poetry Month and National Library Month, but the kids are involved.
Yeah.
And I want people to see, look, they did the spine poetry. Yes, they did the blackout poetry. Look what your kids are doing, because they have to read in order to do that. And, you know, I always love the kids, like, I hate reading. You give them the right book. Once you get to know that kid, and then they're coming back for more all the time. So
it's the best part, right?
Mm-hmm. I love it. When you get that one reader, you're like, ding. And, you know, to bounce off with TLA, you know, I was out the whole week. People are like, oh, you're going to have so much fun. I'm like, I'm actually doing work. I'm learning from my peers things that I can bring back to the programming to help my program. It was a 6:30 in the morning to 10, 11 o'clock at night, because at night, you know, I'm rooming with Amanda Hunt, next gen librarian, and she and I are talking about our day and ideas. And it's just, you know, yes, it's fun, but it's still work. It's not like, yeah, I'm taking a week off. See ya. No, I was looking, meeting authors, pulling books that I knew that the kids were going to like. I'm a STEM Academy. I have to look for STEM books. You know, it's just not, yes, we get free books, but it doesn't mean that they're the finished ones. We get to read them to get a taste to say, yes, I can put this in my library. Sure, we read all the time, but we have to judge if it fits our demographic, if it fits our community. If not, we might like it, but I can't keep it because I like it. I've got to make sure it's for a kid.
Yeah, that's, I know it's something that I have this stack of books because I'm going to school after this. And some of them are finished, some of them aren't, but I can't wait to go share them. So,
well, yeah, that's what I love doing. It's like, look what's coming. And
you know,
do that elevator pitch. Look what's coming.
Yeah, lots of things coming. And I'm just so grateful that I got to end my week with this conversation with you. And I got to see you this week, which was so great.
Never long enough.
I know. So tell people how they can find you on social.
Social. They can find me on both Twitter and Instagram. Deb Zeman, D-E-B-Z-E-M-A-N, L-M-S. That's where you can find me. Though I keep thinking about changing my name to, what was it? Dubrarian, because of my name. or Z Dubrarian, because, but I think somebody has the Dubrarian, but they never use it. I'm like, I want that name. That's me.
I love it.
So I don't know. Right now, that's just where I am. So you can find me on Instagram and Twitter there. Constantly promoting books and all the ed tech that I integrate into the
amazing.
Library.
You're amazing, my friend.
You're amazing. Well,
thanks. And we'll include all of the information that she talked about and where to find her in our podcast notes. Yeah. So I'm so glad that you joined us today.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. So you'll be able to find her information attached to this podcast, along with resources and a certificate of professional development that you can download and fill out to use. As always, thank you to all of our listeners for joining us for this episode of the Future Ready Librarian podcast series, Leading from the Library. And a very special thank you to our sponsors, Follett. You make a difference in our libraries, schools, and within our lives, and that of our students every day. We appreciate everything you do. Please send any ideas that you might have also to me at shannonmcclintockmiller@gmail.com or tag me at Shannon M. Miller. I'm always looking for amazing guests to share your stories. I hope you can take what you learned in today's podcast and put it to use within your practice as a future ready librarian. Until next time, friends, keep finding ways to lead within and from your library.